Hey there. Ready to dive into some seriously next-level cancer immunotherapy?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
We're talking about taking the inherent promise of immunotherapy, harnessing the body's own defenses to fight cancer to a whole new dimension. We've got this fascinating research article hot off the digital press from Science Magazine called, get this, In Vivo Dendritic Cell Reprogramming for Cancer Immunotherapy.
I've been looking forward to digging into this one.
And let me tell you, it's a wild ride. Through the frontiers of cell engineering and immune system manipulation.
It's a remarkable study, no doubt about it. The research team at Lund University really seems to be onto something with this novel approach.
Yeah, they're tackling like this significant hurdle in cancer immunotherapy, the challenge of effectively turning a tumor's defenses against itself.
And they're doing it by focusing on a powerful type of immune cell called a dendritic cell, specifically the CDC1 subtype.
Yeah, okay. So for our listeners who might not have dendritic cells at the top of their minds right now, remind us what makes these cells so special in the context of cancer immunotherapy.
So dendritic cells, particularly the CDC1 subtype, are like the elite intelligence officers of your immune system. They're constantly on patrol, scouting for anything suspicious, viruses, bacteria, and yes, even those rogue cancer cells.
Okay.
But they don't just sound the alarm, they gather intel and deliver it directly to the troops.
Interesting.
When a CDC1 cell finds a target, it captures it, breaks it down, and then presents fragments of that target called antigens on its surface, displayed on MHC molecules.
Yeah.
It's like they're pinning a wanted poster on themselves,
Right.
alerting the immune system's heavy hitters, the T cells, to the threat.
So they're essentially the link between recognizing a threat and mounting a targeted immune response.
Precisely.
Fascinating.
And in this study, the researchers have found a way to essentially turn cancer cells into these wanted poster-wielding CDC1 cells.
Wow.
It's a bold idea, and the implications are huge.
That's wild. So how did they actually pull that off? Reprogramming a cancer cell to behave like an entirely different type of cell, a highly specialized immune cell at that seems like something straight out of science fiction.
It might sound like science fiction, but it's real science. And it hinges on a trio of proteins called transcription factors, PU.1, IRF8, and BATF3.
Wow.
These factors, collectively nicknamed PID in the study, are like master switches within a cell, controlling which genes are turned on and off, ultimately dictating a cell's identity and function.
So they found a way to deliver these master switch proteins, these PIB transcription factors, directly into cancer cells.
Exactly. They used modified viruses, adenoviruses, to be precise, to deliver the PIB genetic cargo. Think of them as Trojan horses, sneaking past the cell's defenses and releasing their payload right into the nucleus where the cell's DNA is stored.
Trojan horses delivering genetic reprogramming instructions. That's incredibly clever. But
Yeah.
did it actually work? Did they see real changes in these cancer cells?
The results were impressive. Not only did they achieve reprogramming in a petri dish, which is remarkable in itself, but they replicated it in three-dimensional tumor models called spheroids.
Okay.
And even more importantly, they saw success in living mice implanted with various human cancer cells, including melanoma and glioblastoma.
Okay, so they tested this in multiple models, from simple cell cultures to more complex 3D systems, and even in living organisms. That's a robust approach.
Yeah.
But what about the results themselves? Did reprogramming these cancer cells actually slow down tumor growth?
Hold on to your hats because the results were pretty astounding. In many cases, the tumors didn't just shrink, they regressed entirely, they vanished.
Wow.
And here's a really encouraging part. They found evidence of lasting immune memory, meaning the body learned to recognize and attack these cancer cells if they ever dared to reappear.
Okay, so not only did they shrink existing tumors, but they potentially primed the immune system to prevent future recurrences. That's the holy grail of cancer treatment right there.
Absolutely. And there's another layer to this that's particularly fascinating.
Okay.
They found that this reprogramming method could even overcome the immunosuppressive environment that many tumors create to evade the immune system.
So it's like they found a way to flip a switch, transforming these tumors from masters of disguise, hidden from the immune system, to highly visible targets, ripe for destruction.
Precisely. And this was especially true in notoriously tricky cancers like glioblastoma, which often form in the brain, an area that's normally shielded from the immune system by the blood-brain barrier.
That's incredible. It sounds like this research has the potential to rewrite the book on cancer immunotherapy, especially for cancers that have traditionally been very difficult to treat. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's break down exactly how this reprogramming plays out at the cellular level. What did they learn about the specific mechanisms driving this immune response?
Well, one of the first things they noticed is that the reprogrammed tumor cells were remarkably good at recruiting T cells, those immune warriors we talked about earlier.
Right.
But they didn't just recruit any T cells. They specifically attracted a subtype called CD4 plus T cells, which seemed to play a central role in orchestrating the attack.
CD4 plus T cells, huh? So they're like the field generals, coordinating the entire immune assault on the tumor.
That's a great analogy. They're the key orchestrators, releasing signaling molecules called cytokines that rally other immune cells and amplify the immune response. And these CD4 plus cells, along with other immune cells, were seen gathering and multiplying within these fascinating organized structures called tertiary lymphoid structures, or TLSs, which formed within the tumors.
Tertiary lymphoid structures, that sounds intriguing. What are those exactly?
Think of TLSs as mini bases strategically positioned within the tumor itself.
Okay.
Fortresses where immune cells can gather, proliferate, and launch a more coordinated, sustained attack.
Interesting.
They're like forward operating bases established right in the enemy's territory.
Wow, that's amazing. But how do we know that these CD4 plus T cells are truly essential to this whole process? Is it possible that other immune cells are picking up the slack if the CD4 plus T cells are taken out of the equation?
They conducted a very clever experiment to address that question. They used antibodies to selectively deplete different immune cell populations in mice with reprogrammed tumors.
Okay.
When they depleted CD4 plus T cells, the tumors came roaring back, growing aggressively. However, when they depleted other T cell subtypes, it had minimal impact on tumor control, highlighting the irreplaceable role of CD4 plus T cells in this type of tumor control.
Okay, that's pretty conclusive evidence that CD4 plus T cells are the MVPs in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this was in mice, right? What about human cancer cells? Did they find similar results when they introduced these reprogrammed human cancer cells into mice?
They did. They implanted human melanoma and glioblastoma cells into mice, and the results mirrored what they saw with the mouse cancer cells.
What?
They observed the same reprogramming phenomenon, with those human cancer cells taking on the characteristics and functions of CDC1 cells, effectively turning against their own kind.
Wow.
They even tested this in those 3D spheroid models you mentioned earlier, which are great because they mimic the complex tumor environment much more accurately than traditional 2D cell cultures.
So it's not just some quirk of the mouse immune system. This really could have implications for treating human cancers.
That's the exciting takeaway here. In fact, they found that reprogramming might even be more efficient and robust in those 3D spheroids compared to traditional 2D cell cultures.
Wow.
It suggests that the tumor microenvironment, as complex and challenging as it is, might actually enhance this reprogramming process.
Wow, that's fascinating. It seems counterintuitive that a tumor's microenvironment, which is typically immunosuppressive, would actually enhance an immune-based therapy. But wait, tumors are notorious for releasing all sorts of immunosuppressive signals, like molecules that dampen down the immune response. Did the researchers find that these signals interfered with the reprogramming or the ability of the reprogrammed cells to activate T cells?
That's a great question, and it gets at a really critical point of this study. They found that even when they added immunosuppressive cells, like cancer-associated fibroblasts or the suppressive cytokines you mentioned, to these 3D spheroids, the reprogramming process chugged right along, undeterred.
Right.
And get this, the reprogrammed cells were still able to activate T cells in a dish, even in the presence of these suppressive signals.
Interesting.
It seems like they've found a way to reprogram these tumor cells in a way that allows them to shrug off those immunosuppressive signals, almost like they've become invisible to the tumor's attempts to shut down the immune response.
That's incredibly promising. It suggests that this reprogramming approach might be effective even against cancers that have evolved to evade other types of immunotherapy, which often struggle to overcome these suppressive signals. This is really exciting stuff. But we're getting into some pretty granular details here. To make sure everyone's following along, let's take a step back and recap the key points of this research before we move on to the gene therapy aspect of this study.
I think that's a great idea. Why don't you start us off?
All right, so we've established that scientists have found a way to reprogram cancer cells to act like immune cells.
Right.
And these reprogrammed cells can trigger a powerful immune response, even in the face of a tumor's defenses. It's a lot to wrap our heads around, but it's incredibly exciting.
It is. And one of the most important questions from a therapeutic standpoint is whether this approach can generate long-lasting immune memory. After all, we want to make sure the body can remember and fight off these cancer cells if they ever try to make a comeback, even years down the line.
Right, like training the immune system to be on high alert, ready to squash any future rebellions. Did the researchers find any evidence of this long-term memory?
They did. In several mouse models, they saw that mice whose tumors had been successfully eliminated by this reprogramming approach were protected from rechallenge with the same cancer cells.
Interesting.
Even when they tried to reintroduce those cancer cells weeks or even months later, the mice remained tumor-free. This suggests that the initial immune response triggered by the reprogrammed cells wasn't just a flash in the pan. It led to the establishment of long-term immune memory, which is crucial for preventing cancer recurrence.
That's incredibly promising. It suggests that this approach could potentially provide lasting protection against cancer recurrence. But you mentioned something about a gene therapy approach earlier. How does that fit into all of this?
So delivering those PIB transcription factors using modified viruses, as we discussed earlier, is inherently a form of gene therapy. The researchers wanted to explore whether this could be a viable treatment strategy in a real-world setting, moving beyond just mixing reprogrammed tumor cells with existing tumors in the lab.
So instead of just introducing reprogrammed cells into the tumor, they wanted to see if they could deliver the PIB cocktail directly into established tumors, like a targeted injection right into the tumor mass, delivering those gene editing instructions directly to the source.
Exactly. And they found that among the various viral vectors, they tested lentiviruses, adenoviruses, and adeno-associated viruses, adenoviruses were the most effective. They were able to penetrate deep into the tumor, efficiently delivering the PIB cargo to the tumor cells.
Adenoviruses. Those ring a bell. Aren't those one of the viruses that cause the common cold? Seems like an odd choice for gene therapy.
They are, and that's actually one of the reasons they're attractive for gene therapy. They've been studied extensively, we know a lot about them, and they have a good safety profile. They've also been successfully used in several FDA-approved gene therapies already, so we have a good understanding of how they behave in the human body.
So they're a known quantity, which is always reassuring from a safety and regulatory standpoint. But did this adenovirus-delivered PIB therapy actually work as well as the other approaches? Did it shrink tumors and boost the immune response?
The results were compelling. In mice with melanoma, they found that multiple injections of the PIB carrying adenovirus directly into the tumor led to significant tumor regression, just like they'd seen in the other experiments.
Wow.
And importantly, this treatment also triggered systemic immune responses, meaning the effects weren't limited to just the injected tumor. It seemed to be activating the immune system on a broader scale.
So it wasn't just a local effect. The immune system was learning to recognize and target tumor cells throughout the body.
Exactly. They found evidence of this systemic response in several ways. First, they saw an increase in tumor-specific T cells circulating in the blood, indicating that the immune system was recognizing and responding to tumor antigens, not just in the treated tumor, but systemically. Second, they observed something called the abscopal effect, where treating one tumor led to the shrinking of other untreated tumors in the same animal.
Okay, now that is seriously impressive.
Hey.
It's like the immune system was getting a wake-up call, realizing that these tumor cells were a threat no matter where they were hiding, and launching an all-out assault wherever it found them. This abscopal effect is something that researchers have been chasing for a long time in cancer immunotherapy. So to see it so clearly in the study is really remarkable. But was this immune activation limited to just T cells? Or were other parts of the immune system getting involved too?
It wasn't just T cells. They found that their reprogramming also led to changes in other immune cell populations. For example, they saw an increase in B cells, the cells that produce antibodies, and the formation of those tertiary lymphoid structures we talked about earlier, both within the tumor and in nearby lymph nodes. So it seems like this reprogramming strategy is triggering a multifaceted immune response, activating various branches of the immune system to attack the tumor from all angles.
So it's not just a one-pronged attack. It's a coordinated, multifaceted immune response with different cell types working together to eliminate the tumor. That's pretty remarkable. But circling back to the potential of this therapy for long-term cancer control, did this gene therapy approach also generate long-term immune memory, similar to what they saw in the earlier experiment?
It did, and the results were very consistent with their earlier findings. They found that mice treated with the adenovirus-delivered PIB therapy were protected from tumor rechallenge, even after several months. That means that even months after the initial treatment, the immune system was still able to effectively recognize and eliminate these cancer cells, preventing the tumor from coming back. And perhaps even more impressively, when they looked at the lungs of these mice, a common site for melanoma metastasis, they found that the therapy had also prevented the spread of tumor cells to this vital organ.
So it's not just about shrinking existing tumors, it's about training the immune system to prevent the cancer from coming back, even in distant parts of the body where it might be more difficult to detect and treat. That's incredibly exciting. This approach seems almost too good to be true. But I have to ask, were there any downsides, any signs of toxicity or negative side effects from this gene therapy? Safety is always a major concern when it comes to new medical treatments, especially those that involve manipulating the immune system.
That's a crucial question, and it's something the researchers looked at very closely. They didn't find any evidence of serious toxicity or off-target effects in the mice, even those that had been treated months earlier and remained tumor-free. They also didn't see any signs of autoimmune reactions, which can sometimes occur with other types of immunotherapy when the immune system gets a little overzealous and starts attacking the body's own healthy cells. So far, this approach seems remarkably safe, at least in mice.
Okay, so it seems like this adenovirus-delivered PIB therapy might offer a safe and effective way to harness the power of the immune system to fight cancer, with the potential for long-lasting protection against recurrence. Before we jump into the broader implications of all of this, is there anything else about the specific mechanisms of this reprogramming that you think is important to highlight?
One thing I found particularly interesting is that they looked at the gene expression profile of both mouse and human cancer cells that had been reprogrammed. This is a way to see which genes are actively being transcribed and translated into proteins, giving us a snapshot of what's happening inside the cells at a molecular level.
Okay.
They found that in both cases, the reprogramming process involved the activation of specific genes and pathways that are normally associated with dendritic cell function. These genes are involved in antigen presentation, T cell activation, and other key functions of dendritic cells. So seeing them activated in the reprogrammed cancer cells provides strong evidence that these cells are undergoing a genuine transformation at the molecular level.
So they weren't just superficially mimicking dendritic cells. They were undergoing a genuine transformation, taking on the genetic and functional characteristics of these immune powerhouses.
Precisely. And this transformation seems to be driven primarily by those PIB transcription factors we talked about. They're like master conductors orchestrating a complex symphony of genetic changes that transform a cancer cell into an immune cell. It's a testament to the power of these transcription factors and their ability to rewire a cell's identity.
It's almost poetic, turning a foe into an ally, rewriting its genetic code to fight against its former comrades. So, taking all of this together, the reprogramming, the immune activation, the long-term memory, the lack of toxicity, what are the broader implications of this research? Where do we go from here?
Well, it's important to remember that this research is still in its early stages. It's been tested in mice and in lab-grown tumor models, but it hasn't yet been tried in humans. We still need to figure out how to translate these findings into a safe and effective treatment for people with cancer.
So the million-dollar question is, can we translate these findings into a safe and effective treatment for people with cancer? There's obviously a lot of excitement in the air, but there's always a gap between promising research in the lab and what happens when you start testing a new therapy in humans.
Absolutely. The researchers are optimistic that this approach could eventually be tested in clinical trials. They're already exploring ways to refine the gene delivery system and optimize the reprogramming process to make it even more effective and targeted. One area of focus is developing ways to specifically target the adenoviruses to the tumor cells, minimizing any potential off-target effects. They're also looking into ways to fine-tune the expression of the PIB transcription factors to ensure that they're expressed at the right levels and for the right duration to maximize the therapeutic effect while minimizing any potential side effects.
It's amazing to think that this could be the future of cancer treatment, harnessing the body's own defenses to fight the disease, rather than relying on harsh external treatments like chemotherapy and radiation. Imagine a world where cancer treatment is less about attacking the body with toxic chemicals and more about empowering the body to heal itself.
It's a tantalizing possibility, but even if this particular approach doesn't pan out, it represents a significant paradigm shift in cancer immunotherapy. It shows us that we can potentially manipulate the immune system in incredibly precise and powerful ways to target and eliminate cancer cells, turning the enemy into a weapon against itself. It's a testament to the ingenuity of the researchers and the incredible potential of this field.
It's like opening up a whole new toolbox for fighting cancer, with tools we never even dreamed of just a few years ago. But before we get too swept away by the excitement, let's take a moment to distill the key takeaways from this research. What are the three most important things someone should remember from this deep dive?
That's a great idea. Why don't you go first?
Okay, so after that deep dive into the intricate world of dendritic cells, reprogramming, and the potential of this new approach to cancer therapy, let's distill it down to the essentials. What are the three key takeaways that our listeners, especially those with a keen interest in the frontiers of immunotherapy, should remember from this research?
I'm happy to start. First and foremost, this study demonstrates the feasibility of directly reprogramming cancer cells within the body to function like dendritic cells, you know? Mm-hmm. We're talking about fundamentally altering a cell's identity, turning it from a foe into an ally in the fight against cancer.
Right.
This is a remarkable feat of cellular engineering with profound implications.
It really highlights the incredible plasticity of cells and the power of harnessing those inherent mechanisms for therapeutic benefit. What would you say is the second major takeaway?
The second key point is the potent systemic immune response triggered by this reprogramming strategy. We're not just seeing a local effect at the site of the tumor. This approach activates a symphony of immune responses that extend throughout the body. The evidence of increased tumor-specific T cells in circulation, the presence of those tertiary lymphoid structures, and of course the observation of the abscopal effect, these all point to a system-wide immune awakening that can target and eliminate cancer cells wherever they may be lurking.
It's like this approach not only eliminates existing tumors, but also teaches the immune system to remain vigilant, ready to identify and neutralize any future threats. That long-term immune memory is crucial for preventing cancer recurrence. Which brings us to our third key takeaway, the potential of this approach to provide long-lasting protection against cancer. What makes this so impactful, especially for those who battled cancer and live with the fear of it returning?
This study provides compelling evidence across multiple models and even with human cancer cells that this reprogramming approach can lead to durable tumor regression and, importantly, long-term protection against recurrence. The fact that they saw these effects even months after treatment with no signs of toxicity or autoimmune reactions is incredibly encouraging. It suggests that this approach could offer a safe and effective way to not only treat existing cancers, but also provide lasting immunity, significantly improving the lives of those affected by this disease.
It's like this research is offering a glimpse into a future where cancer treatment is less about aggressive interventions and more about empowering the body's natural defenses to fight back. It's a future filled with hope and exciting possibilities.
Absolutely. While this research is still in its early stages and we need to be cautiously optimistic, it represents a significant leap forward in the field of cancer immunotherapy. It opens up new avenues for exploration and has the potential to revolutionize how we approach cancer treatment in the future.
Well said. It's a powerful reminder that science is constantly pushing boundaries, uncovering new mysteries, and offering new hope in the face of even the most daunting challenges. And as always, it underscores the importance of staying curious, asking bold questions, and never giving up on the pursuit of knowledge and innovation.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into the fascinating world of reprogrammed cancer cells. Thank you for joining us on this journey into the cutting edge of science. We hope you found it as illuminating and thought-provoking as we did. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring the wonders of the world around us.